Want a more fault-tolerant data center? Bring the availability of cloud computing inside your data center with the only server built from the cloud up.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome. This is Dan Stultz. I'll be your host today on another episode of TechNet Radio. I'm joined today with Ned Pyle, where he's going to get hands-on with DFSR and show us DFSR in action. We got lots of good stuff with using the screens and the logs and the, most importantly, PowerShell. So welcome, Ned.
How's it going?
Very good. So what do you got in store for us today?
Today I'm going to sit here and talk about how you can use the new DFSR PowerShell commandlet released in 2012 R2 to not only do all the familiar tasks of DFSR that you've been doing for many years, but also do a bunch of new things, demonstrate some new capabilities, address some old concerns and some problems people have had in the past that we've finally got answers for. And hopefully convince people that the PowerShell way is actually the easier way when you start really running larger or more complex DFSR environments.
Outstanding. And I know people are going to be, as you're going through this, they're going to be trying to take notes frantically. So before they do that, I think we want to share that a lot of this stuff is already online. So we'll make sure that we share the links to the blog posts and stuff where you've done a lot of this stuff to accompany the video with this. And that'll be made available on my blog, itproguru.com, as well as on several of the other Microsoft TechNet properties. So what do you say? We go ahead and dive in.
Okay, so I'm going to start off by just kind of quickly showing you what all the new commandlets are and address probably the first concern people have about new PowerShell is how do I use this thing? How do I figure out how to use it? So we have this module called, you could probably guess what it's called, DFSR. And these are all of our commandlets. There are 42 of these little guys, and which is a lot. And if you're curious how to use any of these, obviously, the help is always there. And we spent a lot of extra energy in trying to make our help as useful as possible. There's actually, even though there's 42 commandlets, there's nearly 100 examples in here. We really kind of agonized over what this would look like so that if you didn't have access to, you know, a blog post or TechNet right away, you could still muscle your way through things. So if I look at something like get help for new DFSR replicated folder. Now there's the set of parameters that we offer, but if I get to the examples, we tried to get very, very, very prescriptive. So this gigantic set of example here covers how to create a replicated folder, how to go through and specify with DFSN paths, how to go through and build something much more complicated as you go. And you can see it sort of builds up showing an entire series of examples using multiple different commandlets to create an entire replicated space of folders all within this, you know, almost a walkthrough in the examples. The idea here is I think a lot of PowerShell help is pretty weak. And I can tell you from experience that it relies heavily on a bunch of people rushing around trying to write this sort of stuff, usually close to some deadline. And I wanted us to make sure that we had something that was, you know, very extensive. So that's just a quick view of what you've got coming your way for over the next 45 minutes. Okay, so let's actually do something here. I've got an environment with three DFSR servers and a single domain controller. Obviously, none of this is particularly recommended. This is just a test setup. And I've got my PowerShell commandlet's ready to go. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to demonstrate some various ways that you can provision replication sort of progressively easier as we go along and more scalable as we go along, to the point where I'll have one that I can't actually do because I would need to have 100 servers. But I'll be able to show you how it works anyway. So you're gonna learn right away just how horrendous a typist I am, and hopefully not laugh at me too hard here. But one great thing about PowerShell is its ability to autocomplete. So I'm going to start by creating a replication group. It's new DFSR replication group. Group name. Notice how you'll see as I go through here, everything that we need you to do, mandatory, for example, parameters, are up front. So these are not like alphabetical or sort of, you know, slapped together. It'll actually show you precisely what you need to do all the way through in the order that you need to do it. And, or, you know, if you get used to it after a while, you'd learn that, well, I don't need to type group name. I could just type the group name because I know that the first position in all these commandlets is always the replication group. It's very consistent. And if you're used to old tools like DFSR admin, you can actually even provide the old, we have aliases for every parameter for the old command line tools, as well as the short names for people who are like me who have fists made of ham. So I'm going to go ahead and just do the proper group name. I'm going to call this RG01. That's a pipe. So now I'm going to create the folder. So I'm creating the group, passing through to the folder commandlet. I don't have to type the group name anymore because that's the input. So whenever you're using our pipelining, you should only have to type a very minimal amount of commands as well, which I think is kind of swell. And I'm going to add DFSR member. Okay, so now I'm going to go through and show you sort of the power of the new commandlets, the ability for me to create an entire set of replication in, you know, pipeline commands, the ability of me to add connections, add members and everything in very quick and efficient ways. The goal of all this PowerShell is to make your life easier. And a lot of PowerShell, you know, makes your life different, doesn't make your life any easier. We went very, very, very carefully through this to make sure things like the replication group parameter is always in the first position. It always passes through to any subsequent commandlets. You know, makes your pipeline life easier. We made sure that you'd have the ability to use short names, aliases, any places that we could put them in. I'll give you an example of this right now. I'll just go ahead and start by creating a simple replication group. So go ahead and get some focus here. New DFSR replication group. Autocomplete is my friend because I'm a terrible typist. Here's group name. That's the replication group. But if you had used DFSR admin in the past, the RG name parameter still works for you. So if you've got sort of, you know, muscle memory about the old command line tools, or as you saw there, RG works. We have short names for everything as well, just to cut down on time. And because if you learn by using this, our positions never change, I could simply just type the name of my RG here, and that would work as well, because we don't scatter these parameters around. They're very consistently and deliberately placed. But just to show you the default experience, here's RG01. I'm going to create this replication group. I'm going to pipe this to new DFS replicated folder. You're going to see me typing horribly this whole time, but you'll also see me auto-completing very fast, which should hopefully cut down on my horrendous typing skills. I'm going to put in the name of the replicated folder. Notice that I didn't have to type in the name of the RG. It's just been passed through the pipeline. And then I'm going to add DFSR member right here. And I don't need to specify the folder, the group, or anything else. I just need to specify the computer names now. It's all passing through. So I have SRV01 and SRV02. I actually have three DFSR servers here, so I can form a kind of a simple hub and spoke. We'll get to the other servers in a bit here. But notice how, if you were used to using the old command line, I would have had to actually run this command twice. I'd have to run the RG command, that's one. I'd have to run the folder command, that's two. I'd have to add each member, that's 3 and 4, which I just got with one single command there because we have collections on everything that we can possibly find. Collections being, you know, just lists of objects. So if I put in two servers here, it takes both with a comma, no sweat. And then if I add the connection, I'm just going to specify the group name here again. If I wanted to up front, I could have created a little variable about the group and then just kept passing it around here, but you know, no harm. I have a source computer, SRV01, and a destination, SRV02. Now notice how on the output here, it actually created two connections in both directions. So back to the old admin command, I'd already run four commands. Now I'd have to run each of these twice, and I'd have to remember that I need to run them in both directions. I would need to switch this right now from 1 to 2 and from 2 to 1. But we figured when we were designing this, you know, we took into account kind of how life had been since DFSR was first designed, and we had learned long ago that lots of customers were setting up one-way replication purely by accident. So rather than allow that to continue, we changed the way we operate by default so that when you use our PowerShell, it creates a bi-directional connections the way you always should have and the way we always should have done it or properly did. And then I'm going to actually create my membership. And the membership in DFSR is what makes the world go around. This is where you specify the folders that are actually going to be replicated on the file system and the staging folder and, you know, all this sort of local machine settings and things of that nature. So I'm going to specify a group name again here. And I'm going to specify the computer that I want to use. Now you notice I'm running this on a server. I could be running it on the box. I could be running it against remote. All of this is in RSAT. It all works perfectly from your client. So you don't need to be anywhere near machines to run all of this stuff. You just have to have some kind of remote connection to them. And I'm going to specify SRV01. And I'm going to specify a content path of CRFO1 and a folder name of RFO1, the one I specified up top. And I'm going to make this fella the primary member. So if you know DFSR, you know when you're setting up replications, somebody has to be authoritative and everybody else basically isn't. So if I run this command, now like any of our commandlets that do something like really destructive, we have a should continue option on these that say, and are you sure? Because you're about to mess around with replication. In this case, we're going to say yes. If I do this again, and this time I change it to server 2, because I'm the world's worst typist and I don't want to have to do all this typing again, and I get rid of primary, and I add force, now it just goes. So now I have two servers that are configured to replicate. And if I run update DFSR configuration from AD, I put a little verbose on there so we can see some, I can see right here that I updated server 01, which is the box I'm on. I can also specify the remote server here. And I'm telling them just to go access Active Directory through LDAP and find out that this whole configuration was set up and to suck them down and to start replicating. But let's say I have lots of servers. Let's say that I don't like having to type this command lots of times. Or let's say that I've just set up a bunch of replication all over the place, and I'm the world's laziest person, which is in fact true. I am the world's laziest person. If I do this, oh, look at that. It just went and found every single server and told them all to pull. I didn't have to type in any server names. I don't care. It just ran. If I do verbose here to see a little bit more action, it's showing me this going through these servers and pull.
That's the power of PowerShell, right?
It's the power of PowerShell. It's the fantasticness of, it's the true lazy man's programming language. That's why I love about it so much. So let's talk about, that was simple two server. Let's talk about a three server setup. So I'm going to, just to save a little bit of time, I'm going to do a little cheating here because I do love to cheat.
Hey, I'm with you, man. I love to cheat too.
And I'm going to specify this from a magical area that's not on my screen. And you can see here that I just added three servers, which I've done before in the last two screen, you know, in the last little demo. That's no big deal. It's not that interesting yet. Notice here how I'm creating a replication connection between 1 and 2 and between 1 and 3 with this command. So I've just created a hub and spoke. And this is getting really, really simple. If you notice, I'm not having to type really that many more commands in order to add more servers, because most of them I can specify multiple server names. If you see down here.
So Ned, this is really easy to set up this hub and spoke. Is it the same process for setting up a multi-master, or is it different things you have to do?
It's effectively the same process. As long as you just keep specifying the mesh connections, really when you add the servers, you simply add a set of connections. I'll tell you what I'll do here. I'll show you an example. I have a script that we have published on the TechNet Script Gallery that allows you to set up more complex topologies with an even simpler setup. But we also have an example I'll show you here that you could easily modify to create a full mesh topology. So think about this right here. I'm gonna put in these commands. Now these are just variables, right? As a replication group, a replicated folder, a hub server, and spokes. This spokes text file right here is just a list of servers. So if I want to set up 100 servers, I'd rather not type all those commands I just typed, even if they're easier to use. And I would not want to be using the snap-in right now, because the snap-in would require me to click through about 150 screens, typing on several of them each of those 150 times. Mm-hmm. And if I had to use the old DFSR admin command, I'd have to type 406 commands. And you're going to mess up, let's say you only mess up 1% of them, which any 1% is fatal.
Yeah.
That would not be any good. But if I was to take, for example, and this one I can't actually run because I don't have 100 servers. But what I'll show you is, if I was to create my replication group and my folder and slurp my list of spokes, I can add all of them at once. I'm going to hit Control-C here so I don't try to do this. And then I can take my list of spokes, and anybody who uses PowerShell knows that the percent sign is for each, and add connections between the hub and the member on all of them. I could also basically use this same logic to create a total octopus of connections by giving it two lists of servers and letting it run down the list and mesh every single solitary one of them. Now, having 100 servers on a full mesh is actually not a very likely scenario. That would be sort of like having 100 branch offices that were all able to talk to each other directly.
Yeah.
Fairly unlikely.
Yeah, kind of a waste of bandwidth.
A waste of bandwidth. I mean, it would be extremely reliable. It would be like, nuclear war proof. But probably not that valuable day-to-day. But if I had, say, 10 servers... or 15, and they were maybe scattered around some like major data center hubs, that would be fairly easy to do.
Yep.
Awesome. And then so now if I was just to run the follow-up commands of membership, this would just be filled in, I'm giving up the spoke again, and would fill in all these 100 servers, and I'd be good to go. But I think that even this is a bit, honestly, a bit much work. So what I'm going to do is show you a script we have out there. Okay. Let's do this, because it's just that fancy. It even has help. We have a sample script up on the TechNet Script Gallery called New DFSR Configuration that can go through and create for you with one single command hub and spoke environments. And hub and spokes are actually the most likely configurations just based on the way that that's what networks do. And this will go through, and let's actually do it real fast. Let's do one. Just like regular PowerShell, it's auto-completing stuff. Do RG06 here. And I have a folder name. I'll do RF06. And I have a hub computer. So in this case, I can specify the hub. And then I have the other computers. So Servo 2, Servo 3. And then I need to set somebody primary. In this case, I, of course, set my hub primary. And I can specify content path. this script is not signed or, you know, sealed in any way. Anybody is free to edit it and to add capabilities to it. And in fact, I'll show you this thing. Show you that when we wrote this, basically we were hoping to have an example far more often than we had any code. This might be a little too small to see. Let me see if I can zoom in.
Well, you know what we'll do, Ned, is we'll go ahead and put a link to this on the on the video, so that's fine. Everybody can get to it.
Okay. But you'll see when you go through the video that there are probably more comments and more explanations of what we're doing than anything like what we're actually doing. And the goal is that if you take a copy of this script and you figure, well, I'm not much of a scripting guy, but this thing tells me exactly how it's working, and it's explaining how to add my own things that I find interesting from PowerShell, you can plug them right in and use them yourself.
Excellent. Thank you.
So let's see what this thing did. All under the covers there, it was going through and just running all of that PowerShell, adding the groups. You know, it's not inventing any code. It's just running the same commands, but just organizing them together in a very simple way. If I had put it in verbose mode, you would have seen that it actually even checks to make sure that DFSR is installed and configured and ready to go. It's fairly schmancy. So I've got all this DFSR now. You know, I've installed a bunch of things. Let's see what I have. Well, I've got these groups that I've created. That's sort of interesting. Notice how I didn't have to type anything after this. We automatically did a glob, which is a PowerShell way of saying a wildcard. And by not typing anything but just get replication group, I'm getting back all the replication groups. I can even see the one that's for sysvol because my DFSR sysvol is in play over here on my one DC. Not that you would go through and edit this one. That's why we have those special parameters to make sure you don't go in there, you know, fooling around with it. I can look and see things like, I'll go through and I'll change my staging size. So let's figure out, staging is where DFSR, drops files as it moves them between servers so that it can do compression, so that it can do RDC, you know, the differential compression, all the various pieces that go on between replication on the wire. And having a small staging size can make your replication slow. So if you figure it out, you know, I've done the math and I figure I need about an 8 gig staging. I can, rather than going to each server like I used to or going through the snap-in, which is, you know, horrific, I can just specify a group and set the DFSR membership RFO1. And set staging path quota to be some number. And it's in megabytes. So let's see, I want it to be gig. So I'm going to say 1024 times 8. It'll say, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Are you sure? Sure. And on those two servers, it just increased my staging size. Just like that. And you can see actually right here in staging path, quote in meg, you know, gruesome language we use, that now it's 8 gig.
Can you also set the initial synchronization or a time to start or anything like that?
As far as setting an initial time to start, if you don't pull, you're not going to start replicating. If you stop the service, you're not going to start replicating. But our idea is that as soon as you've configured replication, you should start replicating. There is a schedule, and you can control when replication is allowed on both the replication group and on the connections. So you could close the schedule either in the RG or on the connections. And with PowerShell, it'll be very easy to go through and just, you know, blanket close them all. You can also use suspend DFSR replication, where I specify a group and a source machine in this case, and a destination machine in this case, and an amount of time, so not a time of the clock, but say 10 minutes, mm-hmm. where it will just pause. And then the nice thing about this is that you don't have to remember to turn it back on, because at the end of 10 minutes, it'll turn itself back on.
I love it. The scenario that I'm thinking of is like whenever we're bringing a new server online, but it's you know, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't want this to start up until everybody goes home at 6 o'clock at night. So, you know, I'll delay it 120 minutes, you know, 180 minutes, and then it kicks off after the network, you know, the normal network bandwidth goes down.
So, you can completely control the schedule by using things like, let's see if I even have an option to do this. Let's set DFSR. Set DFSR connection schedule or set DFSR group schedule. And the beautiful thing about this, as you've already probably thought to yourself, is because we support wildcards, because we don't have to type everything in, if I just wanted to, let's say I'd created 100 different RGs over the course of the years, and I suddenly decided, you know, we just need our backups to have priority at night. So we're not going to allow DFSR replication to run, you know, say from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. What I'll do is simply set the group schedule using an asterisk. So if I was to use this, that would mean all of my groups everywhere in the company would inherit whatever I set for the schedule right now. So one single command, I could just basically set everything at once, which was impossible to do in the past. You would have had to go through and either click through 100 replication groups inside of the snap-in, or run 100 DFSR admin commands. That's really a really good example you brought up there, Dan. So let's keep tracking here. I'll show you one last little interesting thing that you can do, and then I'll cut over to a little bit more about our new cloning feature. So one of the biggest requests people have had over the years is to say, how can I tell if these servers have the same files, that they're in sync, that they actually are linked up? And we have, you know, the old backlog command. We also have, you know, we have PowerShell for the, if I was to run this command right now, it would show me there's no backlog because when I set up replication, there's no files in RF01. So I heard it cheated there. So let me resume replication here. That'll kick it back into gear. I had already paused it. Once it comes back and starts running again, it's, you know, going to run. This sync and suspend also works against the schedule. So by resuming it for 1 minute, if the schedule was closed, after 1 minute I'd stop working again. But because I don't have a closed schedule, it's just going to keep going. So now let's go ahead and copy some files into my replicated folder. Give it something to think about. And I'll show a little bit of a backlog. Hopefully it doesn't replicate it too fast. Never had too many people complain about that, but in the demo case, you never know. Let's try and do a backlog. I need to change my source and destination here. Ooh, that's interesting. Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of info. And I'm not that interested in things like the file, hash, full index. Oh, my goodness, all this crazy stuff. So what I'm going to do is just show full path. Yeah, that's not so bad. These are the files which are in the backlog right now. We can see if I scroll up here. Whoop. 134 files are currently in the backlog. If I run this again, oh, it's too late. It's already caught up. Luckily for me, DFSR is happily performing quickly today. But what I can also do is an interesting command here called get DFSR state. So I'm going to put some more stuff into the backlog. Back to my Windows. You'll see that I always go straight to syswile64. It's my go-to demo folder because it's got lots of files, none of which are ever in use. Sure, okay. I'm going to go ahead and run this command, which is get DFSR state. Now look at this. Right here I have descending, the path, the state, the source. You can see that this is not inbound. This is outbound. Let's try look at SRV02. Okay. So let me show you one last thing here, since we're running low on time, and that is what cloning looks like. Now, cloning is a new feature in DFSR. It came out in 2012 R2, and it allows you to do almost instantaneous initial sync of two DFSR servers by shipping the database that contains all of the state from the source server to the destination. And if the files are already in sync, say from restoring a backup or previously having the files in sync from a previous replication configuration or just robocopying the files or whatever you want to do, your cloning operation takes care of all the initial handshaking and data exchanges over the network and gives you a very, very, very fast setup. So what I need to do here is very quickly build an example of this. And I have a existing folder that I've already cloned. Well, I don't think I really care about any of that stuff. Here on the D drive. And it's got a bunch of files in there that I created called NED files, 100,000 of them. You notice the files are 0 bytes, but that doesn't matter because cloning, the speed is identical whether the files are 0 bytes or they're 1 terabyte each. It doesn't matter. Because we're only shipping over the database, we don't ever send the files at all. So you'll get identical performance if you have 1,000,000 0-byte files or 1,000,000 1-gig files, which is the beauty of it. So I have all this replication already configured that I've been using. I have this export command now. So it's called export DFSR clone. I pick a volume. I pick a path. That path is where I'm going to put the database. And this is running right now to get all of the state information about those 100,000 files, which is in the database, and put this into a separate database that we're setting aside in this little dbclone folder that contains their hash information. Now notice when I type this command, I didn't type anything about hashes. The default is to say, just get me the file size, last modified, and security hash of this file. Now notice how quickly that was done. That was me doing a database clone of 100,000 files. I think I talked for maybe 10 seconds there.
Yep.
You'll notice the command that it output here is it actually gives you the robocopy commands to run. So if you didn't do any cloning yet, where you actually copied, you haven't seeded the files, haven't put them on the other server, that's okay. You could copy and paste this robocopy command, just change the destination path, go to lunch, you know, however long it takes for it to robocopy the files is how long it will take. Or you could restore the files from a backup, or you could have already had replication configured once before. This is a great way to recover from some really big catastrophe. So for example, if you had a server that the OS blue screen, the box won't come up anymore, but the storage is okay. You rebuild the operating system, but now it doesn't have DFSR configured. You'd be looking at several hours or days or weeks of initial sync time. But with this, you could simply clone that box from another server, and your initial sync will just be as long as it takes for the cloning operation to happen because your files are already there.
Excellent. So the clone does not have to happen from the master.
Correct. Awesome. In fact, you could pick any server you want as a source, already be replicating. You notice here I've already done a bunch of replication today. It could either already exist in existing replication groups, or you could set up a new one just for it to do this, whatever you want to do. I can't actually go through and complete this with the amount of time we have left, I think, but I'll show you these events here, 2000, 24, these cloning events, if we were to pop these open, I think I can do that with this. We'll show you basically progress, for example. So these are the individual pieces of replication that are happening. It'll show you the amount of files it's worked through, how long it has to go, because, you know, unfortunately, as you saw here, we don't have a very, you know, schmancy output. There's no progress bar or spinning wheel or anything like that. But if you watch the event logs, you'll be able to tell very quickly how long it's taking and how long it will take to complete. And if I go to the other server, having copied my database over here, and I import my DFSR clone, I'm going to go ahead and copy the database over real quick. using this free command that I just got right here. Servo 2, D, DB clone, or I can spell it. Copy the database over. I could import D. It could be a different path. That's okay. What is it? D, DB clone. Now, this actually is will this work right now? It will work. So one thing you have to keep in mind is that you can't already have any replication on the downstream server going on that volume. So if I had already had something on the D drive cranking away here, it would basically stop and say, look, you're using a server which is already replicating. I don't merge into replication. Right? You know, I'm a cloning operation. This is a very discrete thing we're doing. And it gives you good messaging. It's all sort of a gateway to, you know, preventing you from yourself and then allowing you to help yourself if you've done the right steps.
I see that as a great thing because you don't want to accidentally overwrite your database. So yeah. It's all good.
Struggled with this because we certainly had the capability when it was being designed to do some merge and some sort of, you know, some pieces like that. And we wanted this feature to be rock solid, guaranteed to work. And we, B, didn't want anybody to, you know, accidentally create themselves a problem. So we erred always on the side of caution here. And we think that we got it right from what we've seen after the release. So you'll see here that it's actually already done the import. That even that didn't take very long. And this server right now is done. It's fully in sync. So that 100,000 files on my little, this is a laptop for gosh sakes, that 100,000 files would usually take me about 15, 20 minutes for initial sync to actually complete normally. But in this case, it took, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds.
Yep. Awesome. We are at the top of the hour, so we really need to go ahead and wrap up here. So thank you so very much for sharing your wisdom and all these really cool scripts. Again, I'll make sure that we get the links up to some of the blog posts that you've done and with some really awesome pictures and these scripts. So I want to remind everybody that they can catch this entire series. We've made this part of the SMB series, which is at ak.ms/smb3series. And maybe you can just remind us where your blog is, Ned?
If you go to blogs.tech.com/filecab.
Filecab, got it. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll catch you on the other side.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks.